like you want what's best for them. You may just want them for you. Or let's say, you're afraid of how they're going to look at you. You know what I mean? If I do this, maybe they won't want to be my friend anymore. Even though it's what they really need to hear, I don't think I want to say it because of me. Because they think they're saying, they think they're acting in love, but what they're really doing is acting selfishly. But this is different. He is born, they have borne the witness of his true love before the church. Meaning the bearing witness before the church of his love. And whom if thou bring forward on their journey, thou shalt do well. What he's saying is, if you bring these, meaning, I think he's someone who has, you know, he's entertained strangers. He's entertained people. So he's kind of maybe a lot of brethren passing his way, stopping there. Not just brethren, but also strangers. You know? And when it means bring forward on their journey, it means to, you know, to send them along on their way. You know what I mean? Meaning you help them along their way. Bring them forward. It doesn't mean necessarily, or maybe he was partially transporting them. I don't know. You know, but after a godly sort, meaning that means in a way that is worthy of God. Meaning, he shuttles them along as though he was shuttling God. For his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Meaning, they went forth for the name of God, Christ, and they didn't accept anything from those who they went to. But you helped them. So, and it helped them to do what they needed to do. You were there, you know what I mean? You enabled them to go to others so that those others would not have any cost. You know what I mean? He was like the benefactor of those who were sent on their way. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. May all us, meaning the all believers, ought to do as Gaius has done, and he's encouraging him to continue in what he's done, and also saying, hey, this is what we ought to do. Right? We ought to receive those that are working in the faith, and be helpers, the help the truth be spread. Now that is why one gives to a ministry. You know what I mean? And he's wishing him prosperity so he could continue this work and helping. And I wish my brother prosperity because he helps me in my work. It's just the same kind of example. It's that, you know, I don't want to go forward begging people for money. But if I have certain people who can help me along my way, brethren, that's what they ought to do. So that they could help the truth go forward. But it not so that it would not be impeded by people feeling like, oh, this guy's coming looking for, you know, money from us. Because I'm not promising, you know, I don't promise people that by helping me, God's going to give them more. But I do wish them well. You know what I mean? As opposed to those, and the last thing he says, if there are any come to you and don't bring the doctrine of Jesus Christ, don't wish them well. Don't bring them in your house. Do not wish them Godspeed. Now, it doesn't mean, like, let's say, you know, like, Jesus met with all kinds of people, right? He met with even with Pharisees. But he went to their place, okay? But, I mean, in a sense of, like, let's say a stranger comes and, you know, it's what I'm trying to say is when he talks about, you know, don't let people in your house, use a little knowledge. And what it means is don't receive them in that, like they're coming, you're bringing a doctrine. Do not receive them in a friendly manner with the doctrine. Use wisdom, use the spirit. What I'm saying is like they're, you know, like you may, someone who is You know, because we, it's, in their day, they were preaching the gospel, and then people started cropping up preaching contrary things. Right now, we live in a world where everything is contrary to the gospel, and we're kind of cropping up speaking the truth. So sometimes these things have to be reversed. We're like, bring them in, speak the truth to them, and if they won't hear you, well, then don't, after the second or third admonition, forget it. Sometimes you can forget it after one, because they won't even come back. Okay. We want to be, you know, all of us ought to be fellow helpers to the truth. Verse 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, I don't know how I want to say it, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Oh, gee, you know, an apostle who knew Jesus Christ, and there's Diotrephes. He loves to have the preeminence. I sit on the elders, you know, he's the important guy, and, you know, big money guy. You know, well, you know, they love it in those community organizations to take that, especially in religion. There's always people who love to have the preeminence. That's why we have the Catholic Church, okay? Because all those dudes love the preeminence. You know, I once, when I was a young man, considered, because I didn't know any better, I thought, well, maybe I want to be a priest. And like my friend said, but like my friend said to me, Ed, he said, I'd like to be a priest too, but I like women. And I have six children. I understand, but my point is, it's like, it wasn't because we loved preeminence, it was because we had a sense like we wanted to get involved with God, and it seemed like the way to do it, right? You know, I mean, it seems like there's nothing more dedicated to God than really dedicating yourself to God, and, you know, we really didn't understand, you know, it just seemed like from the outward appearance, it looks like the most way you could dedicate, you don't see how, like, as a man who's raising a family, you can also dedicate yourself. I mean, you can really dedicate yourself to it. Though it's harder with that. You know, I mean, obviously Paul, the apostle, didn't have a family. He didn't have children. And he said, I would that everyone could abide like me. But you know what? It's not, you know, certainly no commandment. You know, he even talked about people who would forbid to marry. For the funny thing is, Paul said all these qualifications for elders and bishops and people who are over the church, and all of them require them to be the husband of one wife. So I don't know how you could ever have a celibate, an unmarried bishop. I mean, I know, well, the Apostle Paul wasn't married.